Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast, wishing you a very Merry Christmas. Hope that you guys have had a wonderful holiday with yours, whoever yours is. I'm one of your hosts, DJ Culp, as always, here with my beloved brother-in-law, Brad Coleman. Brad, what's up, man?
Dipping coffee, trying to make the best of the day.
That's right. So, last episode was definitely unorthodox, discussing our not favorite Christmas things. But it was fun, man. So we are recording this, 3 weeks ago? So Brad, I can only assume that you and I and Dad and Tabitha and Brad, or you and I and Dad and Tabitha and the kids and Shara and Mom, we all had a great time. So
Yay. It was so great. I don't even remember it.
I know. It just flew by. It really did. I just can't believe it. So this podcast episode drops on December 30. The new year is just around the corner. And in light of that, I want to make an announcement. As I mentioned at the end of last week's show, there is a Facebook group chat that we encourage you guys to visit. And let us know what your favorite moments of the Men Church Stuff podcast were over the year 2024. We're going to do a specific listener episode, sometime very, very soon in the new year. And we want to highlight some of the memories that you guys have posted. So make sure to head over to the Facebook group page and let us know. Find that chat and I mean, seriously, anything at all. So we've already gotten a couple comments. One of my favorites as of right now, Brad, is that the person, and I'm trying to remember her name off the top of my head, but the person loves the banter between me and you. I mean, I love bantering, Brad.
There's a lot of that.
So Brad and I, we decided, actually, this is at Brad's request, that our topic today is going to actually be how God has worked in our lives and or how our lives have changed, which, I mean, we're Christians here, so there is no difference between the two. But nonetheless, what has changed in our lives in the last decade, in the last 10 years? Brad, why don't you go ahead and crank it out? Brad and I have composed some questions for each other, unbeknownst to each other, and so we're about to hear each other's questions, and yeah, just go from there. Brad, yeah,
so when I was writing these questions, I was kind of in thinking about if you were to be sitting down, like over coffee, with yourself 10 years ago. And just having a conversation.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're. So first question is, what's something that you do now that you would have never believed you would be doing 10 years ago?
All right. So 10 years ago, I was finishing year 2 of 3 at the University of Mississippi. And your question is, what's one thing?
Or yeah, something. I mean, you can share more than one, but at least one thing. that your younger self would be kind of surprised?
I'm surprised that I'm not as involved. Actually, I shouldn't even say as involved. I'm not involved with the research component of my the academic research component of my area. In music education, I've got a PhD, and Brad, my coursework is really meant to groom someone into becoming an academic researcher, and really to the extent that they want to be. So if I wanted to work at an R1, so like a University of Mississippi, University of Missouri, Columbia, University of Chicago, if I wanted to go to even work my way up to an Ivy League, something like that, I would have the tools necessary to write that kind of research. I went in thinking that I might be interested in that, but I came out really more satisfied with the knowledge that I have and the experience that I have in the art of teaching college students, the pedagogy, the methodology. And I know right now, sorry, listeners, I know this is an incredibly nerdy answer, but I am very happy and content with how my job looks. I really did think that I would become a research, man, I'm not going to say research giant, but I really did think that I was going to become far more of a writer and publisher than I ended up being, because right now I think I've only ever published like one thing. Well, outside of my dissertation, but like the way my job looks, what I teach, how active in performance that I am, I love the balance. And I really feel like for me, I really feel that if I had done that research route, if I had really chased that, I don't think that I would have been anywhere near as happy. And so, yeah, like I definitely did not see myself being at an institution like this, that's for sure. I really thought, dude, I was gonna work at state schools. And I think a lot of times anybody that gets a collegiate teaching degree of any sort probably has the stars that I had. I wonder if I'll be able to work at a Big Ten institution or an SEC institution. The big athletic heavy hitters where lots and lots of students go. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of big giant program, that kind of thing. But dude, I love Union. I love Union. The students are, Brad, the students are just excellent. I mean, they're fantastic. They're loving, they're caring, they're hardworking, they're smart.
They show up on time for
They
their
show up
final
on time,
exams.
right? Yeah. Yes. They all show up with writing utensils for their final exam, which I did have one time. I had a student walk up to me on the day of the final, showed up like 5 minutes late, sat down, and then got back up and walked up to me and said, "Do you have a writing utensil?" I just went, "No."
Did he actually ask you for a writing utensil?
I was asked on the day of the final, "Do you have a writing utensil?"
No.
Answers
It's like he didn't
absent.
say like, "Hey, do you have a pencil?" Because most
Or
people don't
oh, I'm
say,
sorry. Yeah, he asked, "Do
"Yeah."
you have something to write with?" I'm sorry, Brad.
It was like, well, I'm just saying like that.
Anyone who uses
Do
writing
you
utensil
have
probably have
a?
one.
Does anyone have a writing utensil that I can borrow? Anyone? I thought maybe that was college professor speak there.
Right.
Like he was probably like,
Writing
"Hey,
utensil.
you got something I can take
I've
this
never,
test
dude, I've
with?"
never thought about how nerdy it is to say writing
Could I
utensil.
write down? Most of us, looking for a pencil or a
Yeah, Ben.
pen. Like, you got a crayon I can borrow?
That's funny. All right, Brad. So for you, a crayon.
Doesn't matter what color.
More than likely, this particular student probably would have been just as successful on his exam with a crayon than with anything else. Brad, in the last 10 years, have there been any developments in your life that you actually anticipated happening?
That I anticipated happening. Yeah, my two oldest became teenagers. I didn't anticipate everything that would go with that.
But you did.
But I did anticipate them becoming teenagers.
That's not a cop out at all. I anticipated that time would continue. Let
So
me
my
ask you that.
answer.
Okay, so along those lines, then 10 years ago, were you actually thinking in 10 years, Isaiah or KB and Isaiah will be teenagers?
Yeah, so 10 years ago is, Hannah's still really, really young. So, because Hannah was born in 2013, she's just, she's 11. So I was putting together that still coming up in the future, at one point, I will have three teenagers.
And so will we.
They will all be teenagers at one point, all at the same time.
All at the same time.
And so I'm still trying to prayerfully prepare, everyone involved for those days that are ahead. So yeah, I mean, with that, as 10 years ago, I did not see myself being a senior pastor. 10 years ago, I would have 10 years ago, my thing was, I'm not telling you I don't want to ever do that, but I am telling you that I don't want to ever do that. God. I'm not telling you that I won't, because I know where that ends up, but I tried to, find the loophole in God's system. It
So
didn't work
along those
out.
lines, Brad, can you recollect when you did have kind of like the first thought of, I wonder.
Yeah, so I knew God was stirring stuff in my heart, and God was chasing me around with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And every time that I would go to like pray, I felt like God was whispering through, the Holy Spirit was whispering, trust me. And so all of this was kind of going on for probably about 2 years, a year and a half, 2 years. And then it was Thanksgiving, and your dad and I were having a conversation. And your dad, I don't even know how it came up. Me and your dad, we'll go places.
How does
And
anything come up?
but he was like, so what you're saying is the only reason that you don't want to be a senior pastor is because you're afraid.
Leave it to Dad. That's
Right,
right, Dad.
which is like,
Yes.
that's like a, now you've called me yellow. I'm a country boy, like hillbilly. Like that's one of the big, like you might as well just, he could have just got and slapped me in the face. And I was like, no.
I'm not scared,
Yeah.
man.
And but then the more I thought about it and the more I processed through it, I was like, darn it.
Yes.
That is exactly what it is. Like, shoot. And so, like, I just kind of went introspective. I think I've shared a little bit about this before, maybe on one of the former podcasts, but I went a little introspective. Tabby and I were driving home. She's driving. I'm sitting there. Kids are like all asleep, because it's probably, gosh, 8, 9 years ago now. And she's like, are you okay? Because I hadn't been talking. I'm just sitting, and I was like, I'm just mulling over some stuff. I was like, I want to talk to you about it, but I got to get there. And so it's probably like another 15 minutes. And finally, I was like, okay. I said, I think God wants me to be a senior pastor. And my wife says, yeah, I told you that. And I'm like, no, you didn't. Like, very adamantly, no, you did not. Like, I would have remembered that.
because I would have shot
Yeah, like,
that
especially the conversation I just had with your dad.
down.
No, we didn't have this conversation. She said, I told you like 2 weeks ago, you needed to put your resume out, like revamp your resume and put your resume out. That I thought that that's what you needed to do. You need
That's
to be
not tell
praying
that
about
that's not what
that.
that means.
Right. And I was like, yeah, I thought like as a youth
Yeah,
pastor or
that's
maybe
yeah.
collegiate
Yeah,
ministry,
right.
like you never like even remotely hinted toward, oh yeah, probably senior pastor.
That's like me and you having a conversation and then me just saying, "Me too." Yeah. Wait.
Oh, trust me. I
Me
was
too, what?
like,
Yeah, like no, my favorite candy is a Snickers bar too. Yeah, sure.
yeah,
What are you talking about? Don't you remember like 3 weeks ago we were talking about that? Yeah, me too.
yeah, you said you
No.
like chocolate.
Yeah, right. No, that so
No.
Brad, I'm with you on this one.
Yeah.
Tabitha, that's a hard no. That
Now,
doesn't
the beautiful thing is that what God was working on in my heart, he'd already been working on in her heart. She'd already got there, unbeknownst to me.
Yeah.
And and honestly, it's probably a God thing that she didn't. I probably really needed to have the conversation with your dad first. I needed this spiritual blindsiding because that's
Yeah.
what like I it's what I felt like that Thanksgiving. Like I was like, I don't even know what to feel right now.
Right.
And I would tell people that God took what I was most afraid of and made it what I most wanted to do for him. He didn't take away all the fear. Matter of fact, I would argue that a lot of the things I was afraid of, I've walked through. Since I've been a senior pastor, which
Sure.
has been what, six and a half years. Yeah. So yeah, that was an intense moment
Yeah.
of moments. That was an intense day. Happy Thanksgiving.
That's funny, man.
And yeah, it was quite a journey. And it's been quite a journey ever since.
Yeah.
All right, so on a more lighthearted note,
Okay.
my second question for you. If you were sitting down with coffee with your 10 years ago self, what joke would you tell as you now
Oh,
to
so I'm telling myself
You're
back
telling old
then.
you. You're telling old you a joke. What joke would you share? Your
Oh,
sister,
wow,
by the
dude.
way, when I told her about this, right?
Yeah.
She said he uses the same ones. It wouldn't be a new one. It'd just be one he'd already like been telling. He'd just be bringing it up and
Okay. All right.
remember how we found that funny? I still find it funny.
All right. Well, so I don't have this memorized, so I will read it verbatim. Because this is absolutely me. Like 100% this is me. 10 years ago, I think it was kind of me. I just wasn't as snarky about it, maybe. A cowboy who just moved to Montana from Texas walks into a bar and orders three mugs of beer. He sits in the back of the room drinking a sip out of each one in turn. When he finishes them, he comes back to the bar and orders three more. Brad, you're smiling. Do you know this joke?
I think you shared it with me at one point.
Okay.
Yeah.
The bartender approaches and tells the cowboy, "You know, a mug goes flat after I draw it. It would taste better if you bought one at a time." The cowboy replies, "Well, you see, I have two brothers. One is in Arizona, the other is in Colorado. When we all left our home in Texas, we promised that we would drink this way to remember the days when we drank together. So I'm drinking one beer for each of my brothers and one for myself." The bartender admits that this was a nice custom and leaves it there. The cowboy becomes a regular in the bar and always drinks the same way. He orders three mugs, drinks them in turn. One day, he comes in and only orders two mugs. All the regulars take notice and fall silent. When he comes back to the bar for the second round, the bartender says, "I don't want to intrude on your grief, but I wanted to offer my condolences on your loss." The cowboy looks quite puzzled for a moment, and then a light dawns in his eyes and he laughs. He says, "Oh no, everyone's just fine. It's just that my wife and I joined the Baptist church and I had to quit drinking, but it hasn't affected my brothers though."
Yeah. Yeah. Gave up my beer.
That's right.
Just be wrong for me to give up theirs, though.
I
You know what I
know.
mean?
I can't do that to them.
Yeah.
And now this one, Like actually along the same lines, what I love is I love kind of enlightening a lot of our students. And to see some of them to see some of them exit the world of the legalistic belief. Like, I am not by any stretch of the imagination arguing against works have anything to do with faith, because I know that that's such a fine line. But the other day, I looked at one of my students, and I said, why do you take two Baptists fishing with you?
That's one of your sister's favorite jokes,
Is there
actually.
a, I love
She
this
usually says
joke.
camping, but yeah.
Yeah, because if you only take one, he drinks all your beer. Yeah. I absolutely love that joke. And what's amazing, like really to me, is like the students, when they really get to know me and know my heart, like it is funny. It's a hysterical joke. That is as real gets. Yes, it is comical, but it's true. If there are two Baptists around each other that are for the most part like not sort of brothers in Christ, they're just church attenders, there's no way your alcohol is getting drank.
Right, the Baptists don't drink in front of other Baptists.
No, they don't. So I will say this one. I know you asked for one, but here I'll leave you with another one. I got to get to it here. Pictures. So I love putting stuff on my office door that has absolutely nothing to do with anything except just humor. Where is it? It's a Calvin and Hobbes, which I love. Listeners, if you want to send me anything, send me Calvin and Hobbes. Love Calvin and Hobbes stuff. And I recently took it off my door because I'm moving offices. Brad, this is the last time that I'm recording in this office. I'll be moving offices across the hall so I can put two drum sets and in my office and teach right there. So this, Brad, like again, it's this is so my type of humor. Very literal, sarcastic, tongue in cheek. Calvin's in school and he raises his hand. Miss Wormwood? Yes, Calvin. If ignorance is bliss, this lesson would appear to be a deliberate attempt of your part on, excuse me. If ignorance is bliss, this lesson would appear to be a deliberate attempt on your part to deprive me of happiness, the pursuit of which is my unalienable right according to the Declaration of Independence. I therefore assert my patriotic prerogative not to know this material. I'll be out on the playground. And the next one, she's going to grab him and he's yelling, "Help, monarchists!"
Help, help, I'm being repressed.
help, help, I'm being repressed. That's right. Oh, that's funny. I didn't think about doing like a lighthearted one. All mine are like serious. Well, I guess this could be lighthearted if you want to chase it, Brad. In the last 10 years, what has changed the most in your life?
Brought my hairline.
I wondered if you were going to say that. Yeah, 10 years ago, you had stuff. You had a mop up on top. Yeah, not anymore.
Probably one of the biggest ones is that I don't do like sugar. I don't do processed sugar.
Oh gosh, yes,
You
it's
know,
exact. That is what. That
and
is what. Yeah.
that journey on and off. Yeah, because and you know, Tabby and I were having this conversation the other day, you know, because people will offer us sugar and she's like, I feel bad. Like, and I'm like, because I'm always like, well, you know, we don't eat sugar and all this. I said, yeah, I've kind of just stopped telling people that. Like, if
Just
somebody
say
gives me a
no.
Kit Kat bar and like, I will take it, I'll give it to the kids. I just say thank you because I said, I don't want to be like, no offense against the vegans out there, but I don't want to be like what people make fun of the vegans for.
Right.
Like, you know, vegans got to tell everybody they're vegan. Oh, no, I'm vegan. I'm vegan. And I was like, I feel like
PETA.
I'm starting to come across like that. Oh,
Yeah.
no.
People eating tasty
I don't
animals.
eat sugar. I don't eat sugar. Me not eating sugar has nothing to do with anybody except for me and your sister. You know, and especially me, because, and she tells this story to kind of illustrate just how bad of an addiction that I had to sugar. We were in a level three snow emergency in Ohio, and so which meant we could not go out on the road. It was so cold. It was like, you know, you couldn't go outside for more than a couple minutes without just it being very, very uncomfortable. You're not going to go play in the snow. And so we couldn't get out, and we ran out of like sugary snacks. And so I was in the kitchen, and after everybody went to bed, and I took a cup of sugar and a pack of Kool-Aid, and I mixed it together, and I was just spooning this. It's called Happy Crack, by the way. This Happy Crack, sugary stuff. Yeah, I mean that was a pretty low. That was a pretty low point. So when people understand, I'm not against people eating sugar.
Or happy crack.
Yeah,
Don't do crack, by the way.
like if you're
Let's make that disclaimer.
look, there's a reason. Like if you listen, if you're out there and you're listening to this, and you have found yourself with a plastic baggie of full of sugar and Kool-Aid, and you are just eating it with the spoon, maybe you need to do what I did, and not immediately.
This is your intervention.
Yeah, and reevaluate how sugar has a hold on you, and maybe you need to let it go.
People love you. People are here to support
Yes.
you.
But you know, the biggest thing, you know, we had your sister and I had kind of done that for 18 months. Then we fell off the wagon, and her diagnosis with lupus was one of the things that got me into gear. Was, you know, it was better nutrition, better eating. Staying away from processed foods and processed sugars and stuff like that. And I knew that your sister wasn't going to do it if I didn't. So I was like, I've got to lead by example.
So
So.
answer me this, Brad, because I've never really known. When you say processed sugar, my
Yeah.
analytical brain says, okay, well, that must mean that there's not processed sugar.
Yeah, there's sugar in a lot of things, you know, like fruit
Okay.
and maple syrup. Those aren't processed. I mean, they're not like all like white sugar is like one, sugar's not white. So
It's like
sugar
it's like a
shouldn't be
yellow.
white. Sugar comes from sugar cane, right? So it's just like bleached flour, which I typically stay away from too. You know, pretty much all of the goodness, like the actual good for you-ness, has been taken out. And now, you know, you just have the stuff that kicks your brain into, I need more, I need more, I need more. Anytime you have sugar in nature, or almost every time, I don't know everything, so I won't say every time, but almost every time that you have sugar in nature, you have fiber with it. God pairs sugar with fiber.
So you
That's
get a so you
why,
get a buzz and then you poop.
you know, you're not going to overeat on apples, most likely, because the fiber tells your brain, you know, your stomach and stuff tells your brain, we're full. I'm full. Stop. Turn it off. But what we tend to do is we pull, you know, all the fiber out. Now, I will do, you know, occasional glass of like 100% apple juice, but because it doesn't have the same effect on my brain negatively that processed sugar. Like I won't crave it. Like I do 100% like pineapple juice. We buy those. That's one of my sweet fixes. So I still like sweets, but those don't make me crave. They satiate or, you know, those. So yeah. So basically trying to take things the way that God gave them to us or as close to that as we can. So, you
So,
know, I put maple syrup on my pancakes. I just don't eat maple syrup a lot.
So do you use or will you eat like cane sugar? Like will you sweeten something with cane sugar?
I've never actually tried cane sugar. I do a lot of honey. Like
Okay.
I've found a place that's got some local honey. So like
It was just, it's a
I get
question. It's a
unsweetened
question that
peanut
I'm.
butter, right? 'Cause peanut butter is generally like people don't think about this. It's usually just chock full of sugar. Like you look at your peanut butter, it's almost as bad as Mountain Dew.
Is it really?
I mean, it's pretty up there. I mean,
Dang, I didn't know
maybe not that bad, but some of them,
that.
like your sister's favorite was Jif. Well, Jif's like one of the worst, like as
Oh,
far as
wow.
sugar content. Yes, probably not quite as bad as Mountain Dew. I'm just exaggerating, but I mean,
But for the
there's a lot of
point, yeah, right.
sugar. But you know, now I do like no sugar added peanut butter. You know, it's like, but then I drizzle some honey. Like if I'm making a peanut butter sandwich, I just drizzle some honey in there, or a big spoonful of honey, really sometimes. And so I get that sweet because I still like the sweet. But then, like 10 minutes later, I'm not going like I need another one. And that's the way sugar always was with me. Like I could never eat enough gummy bears. I could make myself sick with eating gummy bears, but.
Gosh, that year. So there's one year, listeners, for Christmas, my mom got Brad a what, like 3 pound,
I think it's
five pound bag of gummy bears. It was
5 pound bag
so big.
gummies.
Dude, I had forgotten this until I said it. You were burning through those.
Oh,
I remember thinking like in a day or a day and a half, like half of that bag was gone.
like I want to tell you that they didn't last a week.
Goodness.
No, that's what I'm saying. So like when I say like I don't do sugar, I'm not trying to be pompous. I'm trying to be like, look, I am like an alcoholic, don't offer me a shot.
And I mean, and that goes to, Paul's whole, argument on foods, what is it? Foods dedicated. What's the word I'm thinking of? Sacrifice to idols. Like some people don't care, but if you
Now, I don't
do,
crave it. So, like, because it takes about 3 weeks in my experience. Like, if I consume some sugar, like, I'll crave it. But about 3 weeks, the first 3 weeks are killer. So if you're going to stop sugar, like it just be prepared, like buckle down. But after those 3 weeks, like I don't miss it. Like I find the stuff like Christmas, I don't miss the taste. I don't miss the stuff. Sometimes it's the emotions that are behind it,
Well,
you know.
and like you've said multiple times on the show, your mom's pumpkin bread or pumpkin
Yeah,
roll,
pumpkin roll,
like
pumpkin roll. Yeah.
it's the nostalgia, it's the smell, it's the experience that you really do miss more than the food itself. And for me, from that in that regard, for me, that's like well, listeners, this is gonna sound absolutely disgusting to you. But my grandmama would make a banging oyster casserole. And I liked it, but like it was the experience that I knew that grandmama would make that for me. So I'm totally with you on that one, man.
So anyway, off to the next questions.
Yeah, do it.
What's the best advice you would give 10 years ago, DJ?
The best advice. On what?
That open-ended.
The best
You got
advice.
it's like you got 5 minutes with yourself over coffee. What advice are you going to give yourself 10 years ago? Like stay away from Cracker Barrel on November 14th, you know. Something wrong with the chicken.
So the best advice that I would give myself is this. Stay on the path that you're on. You're gonna be okay. God, and I started really like manifest this idea in my head when I got the job here at Union. God plays the long game so long that it makes no sense a lot of times. And so the best way that I could really verbalize it is that God plays a game of chess. And I would tell myself that you're in the middle of the chessboard and you're a piece that God hasn't actually moved yet. And the reason that God hasn't moved your piece is because you're not ready to be moved, and he's not ready to move you. He's still working on you, and he's still working on a way to move you. And what's going to happen is this. There's going to be a move that's going to actually, for a small time, it's going to destroy you. And that move was when Shara got the job as a speech language pathologist at a local school system here that treats her, Brad, treats her so well. She's super, super loved and appreciated. She does so good. Like, seriously, I'm not saying it's because she's my wife. She is an awesome speech therapist. But that move will destroy you. And then he's going to move one more piece, and all of a sudden, you're going to see the entire chessboard. You're going to see what God's up to. And you're going to realize that all the moves that you watched around you are the exact moves that only made that particular move possible.
So I don't know if you've seen the video kind of meme going around with like Sheldon Cooper from Big Bang Theory, and he's going through this paper and he's like, why? 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 And then he turns the next page, he's like, oh, that's why.
No, I haven't. But that's exactly but
like,
right.
Yeah, basically what you just described. Like, what? What?
Yep. It's my turn. Put me in, coach. It's me. Oh, no, no, it's not. Okay. Okay. I guess you do know what you're doing, God. So, what was the biggest life surprise that you did not see coming? And if that's the pastor thing, then we could
falling from the ceiling in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, Brad, you win the podcast today. that's your ace of spades. I don't have an answer better than that.
Rarely does very much time go by before that comes up. Somebody will bring it up, or
right.
I will forget that people have come to the church after.
Yeah.
And then somebody will say something, or I'll say something, and they'll be like, wait, what? And then the whole thing starts all over again. It's like, yeah, it is a long way. Yeah. It is a miracle I'm alive. Yeah.
What was it? 18 feet, good. 20 feet?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, the story changes. I haven't measured it. I'm not going to go back and measure it. It's pretty vaulted.
It's technically,
higher,
Brad,
it's higher than you would want to fall from.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. But technically, you can make it your own sort of, type of fishing story. So it's 20 feet now. Next year, it'll be 22, 23. By the time that you're, 70, you fell 178 stories,
See, but I tend to go the other way, right? Because at first it was like 30, and then it was like, I was like 25. And
I fell 3 inches.
Now I'm like 18. Yeah. So, it wasn't a big deal.
I stumbled over a piece of gravel.
Your sister gets on to me for downsizing things, like acting like things aren't a big deal.
Yeah.
Like it was nothing. I will tell you it was something. I don't go in attics anymore. Yeah, but that was a pretty big surprise.
Yeah.
Not a good surprise, but God used it in a lot of ways, still using it.
Right.
Reminds me that, he's in control. This is, Tabby's really been kicking on this a lot lately. She's brought it up a lot. I donated the kidney in 2011. They told me, based on where and how, like, just powerful the hit was, that if I'd had a kidney on that side, I most likely, I mean, like they were like, you would have died on the way to the hospital, like, if you made it into the ambulance alive.
Yeah.
It would have ruptured your kidney. You'd have went septic. You probably would have bled out internally.
Gosh,
they're like dude. like they were like, you almost definitely would have died. So, like, donating that kidney saved my life.
Yeah.
So, and just how phenomenal that those reminders of this, God's been working when he made my kidney, and when I donated the kidney, and
Yeah.
he made sure I didn't have a kidney there, so I'm
Right.
gonna hit right like this, and it's gonna hurt like heck. So yeah, that one I didn't see coming.
Yeah. All right. You're up
My
to bat
turn.
there, Brad.
What do you miss from 10 years ago?
What do I miss?
Yeah, what do you miss? Sorry.
What do I miss?
I mean, as we were speaking earlier, I miss my hair.
Yeah. I miss Adam. Listeners, I may have mentioned this on the show before, but my other brother-in-law, Shara's brother, he passed in 2016. So he had an aortic aneurysm. Yeah, I miss Adam. I miss our talks, miss hanging out with him. I miss the food in Oxford, Mississippi, which is something that like is very easy. I mean, as long as we get in the car and goes, like it's very easy to revisit because it's still there, but still it's not a part, it's not a daily part of our lives anymore. What do I miss? I love working at Union. I really do. And I can't say it enough. Brad, I miss big school culture. When, so,
And
you know,
traffic, right?
we're not, well, it depends.
We're
Yeah.
so wired
Yeah. We are very,
different.
we are wired very differently. N not that kind of traffic. No, so Oxford, Mississippi, without the university, I think it's like, I don't know, 20,000, maybe 30,000 people at the most. You know, I mean, it really is just kind of a small country town. What?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
DJ thinks 20,000 people is a small country
It
town.
is.
That's pretty good.
So,
That clarifies a lot of things.
yes, it does. Yes, it does. So, anyways, if you know, with Ole Miss being an SEC school, dude, when SEC football is in town, you get out of town. You know, you
Yeah.
don't, or you just barricade
Bunker
yourself
down,
down. You
right?
know, you don't
Yeah.
go anywhere. No, dude, I love the vibrancy of college life on a large campus. I fell in love with it at Ole Miss. Murray was fun. You know, Murray State University in Murray, Kentucky has, I don't know, anywhere between, like any year they would have anywhere between 9,000, 11,000 students. It would fluctuate often. Which I think, I'm trying to think, Brad, is EKU where you guys went, is Eastern Kentucky a little bit bigger or a little smaller
And what?
than what I just said, like 9,000 to 11,000?
I don't know.
Okay. Because I know
But
I know
let's go
EK.
back to the small town
Oh, okay.
aspect, okay? According
Okay.
to the U.S. Census Bureau, a small town is typically defined as an incorporated place with a population of less than 5,000 people, right? However,
However, okay.
almost 42% of the so about 76% of the approximate 19,500 incorporated places had fewer than 5,000 people. Of those, almost 42% had fewer than 500
Oh
people.
my gosh, that's not a town.
So
It's not a
your
town.
idea of a small
Yeah.
town is four times as big as the maximum
The Census Bureau
that you
says.
could even consider it a small town. That's like you described four small towns. Like that's, yeah. Like 20,000 people. I'm like, that's a pretty good sized city. I mean, I've been, to big cities. I've been to London, England, where
Yeah.
3 million people like
Yeah.
commute into the city. There's just some traffic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I do. I love big school culture, and I love union again. But it's not big school culture in the least. And so I do miss that.
Let's see. Eastern Kentucky University had a total enrollment of over 15,000 students in 2023.
See, here's the thing. I thought I remembered EKU actually
It's like
having a
three small
this is
towns
three small towns.
maxed out.
I was thinking that EKU had a larger undergraduate population than Murray, but your campus felt a lot smaller because it was tidier. Like it was way more compact than Murray's was. And I always liked EKU's campus. I thought it was fun. So,
I got some fond memories there.
yeah. Brad, let's do one more. Let's do one more each.
I think that's all I got.
Oh, really? That was the last
Yeah, I
one?
just got one more. No, I got one
Oh,
more.
gotcha. Okay. Brad, what has been the largest obstacle to overcome last 10 years?
Probably the one that I'm still trying to overcome, and that's the man in the mirror and his anxiety and his fear and his, and the way that letting that be who's in the driver's seat. And I think
Yeah.
we've talked about this before about how I feel like I've come a really long way, with not letting my fear get in the way as much,
Right.
as I did when I was younger, where I didn't do things or I made different decisions than really what I wanted to because I was afraid.
Yeah.
So I think that's been one of the biggest things, and I wouldn't say that I've conquered it.
Right.
And I think on some level it's a lifelong thing, but I definitely have, I think, a better hold of it. I let it stop me less. I won't say that I'm less afraid, maybe sometimes, but like I let it stop me less.
Yeah.
And again, and you've heard me quote this, I'm sure. One of the things that God has, I think, used to help me, obviously, like faith and trust in Him and growing in Him, absolutely. But it's a quote from John Wayne, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's definitely fear,
Yeah.
anxiety. My last question for you. My last question is a question about a question. What question would you ask decade ago, DJ? Kind of turn the table. Like you're sitting across, like, is there anything you would ask yourself?
What would I
Hey,
ask
remember that
myself?
$20 that I hid somewhere? Where
Where
was
did I
that?
put it? Like on a National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. What is it? Happy Mother's Day, 1986 or something like that. What question would I ask myself? That's really weird.
I know. I
Cause
like
like
really
I'm
weird
cause
questions.
I'm trying to ask a question that I would be unable to answer now, that I would still be able to unanswer be unable to answer then.
And it would backfire on me because they could be like, hey, like I know like a yesterday you put this somewhere
Yeah.
and I haven't been able to find it in 10 years. Where did you put it?
Where on earth, yeah, where did it
And 10 years ago, me would go, dude, I have no idea.
go?
But it was yesterday. I know. I mean, it was 15 minutes ago. I don't know. I said it
Gosh,
somewhere.
dude, wow.
I win.
Yeah.
The question that stumps the question.
A question that I would ask myself 10 years ago. Okay, fine. How about this? Why do you think that God is not going to give you the desire of your heart? like music in terms of music performance? Why do you think that basically, why do you think that God will not allow you to perform? Why do you think that why do you think that he is willing to actually strip that from you? And under and like I'm thinking about that from the perspective that the answer to the answer to that question, man, it developed so unbearably slowly over the last 10 years. Yeah, like why on earth would I doubt? Yeah. All
A lot of
right.
questions.
A whole lot of questions. All right. And there you have it, listeners. The last show, the final show of 2024. Woo-woo. Remember to go over to the Facebook group page, check out the chat, and let us know what your highlights are of the show for the year 2024. What was it that you loved the most? Also, remember that the coupon coffee code for this show at Green Frog Coffee Company is life, and remember that on hang on, let me pull it back up just so I can say it right. That on Monday, December 30, that if you take the word life to the North Green Frog Coffee Company in Jackson, Tennessee, you get $2 off your order. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you guys so much for being a part of our lives in 2024 as the show has continually progressed. We're excited about where the show is going to go. And Brad, maybe in 2025, maybe we can start to talk about some merchandise, because I know that I've shown the coffee cup that you gave me for my birthday. I've already had several people say, dude, if you guys had coffee cups, I would so buy one. So tell you what, let's do this. When this show drops, let me and Brad know what kind of merchandise you would like to see us provide you. So again, thank you guys so much. Listeners, we love you. Brad, I love you, buddy.
Love you too.
Listeners, we'll see you next year.
There's so many good jokes that I love right at the change of the year, right after New Year. It's like, I haven't gone to the bathroom in a year since last year.
Listeners,
happy New Year.
we will catch you next time.